Ora, ora, ora. Obrigado.
We got a lot to get into right now. It's the Shy Fog Podcast, episode 97. Is it 97? It is 97. Welcome to the Shy Fog Podcast, episode 97. Shout out to everybody listening to Spotify, Apple, YouTube. What else? There's some weird podcast apps out there. Overcast, the podcast app. Whatever. All right, a lot to get into. NBA playoffs. It's popping right now. A lot of things are happening. A lot of things are happening. A lot of storylines. A lot of narratives. A lot of every single thing that you can think of in the whole world is happening right now in the NBA. I think the most interesting thing is the most interesting narrative. I mean, we can just kind of breeze over this. I think the most interesting narrative that no one really is talking about is that, like, Trae Young is a superstar. Trae Young is a future superstar, and that Luka to Trae Young trade, yes, Luka's the better player, duh. But I'm just saying, Atlanta got what they got. And I honestly think if the two franchises swapped, it wouldn't have worked out as great. I think with Luka being in Dallas, it really fits him. And Trae Young being in Atlanta really fits him. And I'm not saying it's the most perfect trade. It might be one of the most perfect trades out there because it really highlighted each of their characteristics. And again, I'm not saying it's an even trade. I'm saying it's the most perfect in which just environment-based type of thing. Because, yes, we all know Luka's a better player than Dre. We all know this, okay? Let's get over that. But I think when that trade happened and, like, the first couple of years – a lot of disrespect happened to Trae Young. And honestly, I didn't like it. And it was weird for me, like, trying to defend Trae Young as a, you know, Dallas Maverick dude. Because a lot of people got it messed up. I think people are like, oh, Trae Young is not going to be a star. I'm like, okay, yes, Trae Young's team isn't that great. But when you are a rookie and you're in the top five in points and assists, that says something. You know, that means something. I don't know exactly what it means, but I'm not ruling out the fact that Trae Young could be a superstar. That's different. When you're a top five points and assists in the whole NBA, your rookie season, you're different. And you know, and the thing about it with me being a Trae Young fan, I'm a James Harden fan too. Sometimes I feel like I'm fans of people that people overly hate for no reason. And I just have to support them because I'm like, all right, man, you're not going to disrespect basketball players. Like, there's a difference between a basketball player that maybe can finesse the game a little bit and a bad player. Yes, Trae Young can finesse the game pretty good. He's really pretty good at drawing fouls. That's part of the game, man. That's a part of the game. And he's got to deal with it. He's got to deal with it. But, yeah, it's a very, very, very intriguing thing. And so basically what I'm saying is, like, yes, Luka's going to be the all-time great, but Trae Young is still going to be a superstar in the league. I would compare it, honestly, to, like, if there was a LeBron-Dwayne Wade trade that happened. Yes, LeBron's the better player for sure, but Dwayne Wade is a – great consolation prize, you know? So yeah, I don't know, man. It's a lot of foo-foo out there with Trae Young. But I do honestly think with him making the Eastern Conference Finals, a lot of more respect really went his way. And yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy about that. So that's my like kind of favorite narrative right now that's kind of happening, because I mean, you can really say some really funny things right now. Like Trae Young has won 2 playoff series. He's not even an all-star. Man, I think I was the only person in the world that defended Trae Young when he came to the All-Star game. I was like, why is no one talking about how he is a snub from the All-Star game? Like, when you're leading in points and assists in the whole league, top 5, you deserve to be an All-Star. I don't know why that's such a hot take. I don't know why that was such a hot take. But yeah, I mean, I remember having convos with some people. I was like, all right, who's your all-star snub? Sabonis or whatever? And I was like, no, Trae Young. But whatever, man. It is what it is. I think he got a lot more respect this year. What else? In the NBA, Ben Simmons, man. Ben Simmons. Man, oh man, pretty bad. I'm not going to lie. Pretty bad performance against the Hawks. Ben Simmons is very interesting. It kind of reminds me of Giannis in a way, because how do I say this? With Giannis, he is a frustrating player to me. But at least he tries. You know, like, at least he fails. You know, it's a very good, like, life lesson with this whole Giannis versus Ben Simmons thing. Because at least Giannis, even when he fails, he will try again. He will try. He will fail 20,000 times. And, yes, he has failed 20,000 times. But look at him now. Eastern Conference Finals. We'll get to him later, honestly. Ben Simmons. He fails. Doesn't really improve. Doesn't really work on it. He fails. Doesn't really attempt again. Like, he just kind of, like, stops. And it's like, no, man. I'd rather you keep failing than just, like, not attempting. And especially when I'm talking about shooting. I think the play of that man's career happened in Game 7. When I saw from my very own eyes, I was watching the game. I was watching it intently. And I saw this man, Ben Simmons. This man, this full-grown man. He spins from the post and, like, has a wide-open dunk. Trae Young's there, 6'0". Ben Simmons is what, 6'10"? A foot advantage over this man. He said, nah. I'm not going to dunk it. Not. I'm going to pass it to a guy that's being defended 2 feet away from me instead of a wide open dunk. And after that play, I was like, wow. That man's not going to be in Philly this next year. That man will not. That was a crazy play. I've never seen anything like that. The man had a wide open dunk. You can't be more wide open. And this, after that, I was like, okay, this is psychological. This is way psychological than I thought. I just thought Ben Simmons was a bad shooter, but man, it was even horrible than normal. Man was shooting 34% from the free throw line. I've never understood why people are bad free throw shooters. Like, 50% should be the minimum. But, man. Whatever. You know, here's my take on Ben. I know how to fix Ben Simmons. I know how to fix Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is not a guard. He is not a small forward. He is a power forward / center. No man in the whole wide world no guard, no small forward should be in a basketball arena if he can shoot, if he shoots 34% of the free throw line and what, like 30% just in general free field goal. No man, no basketball player should be a basketball player. If that, no guard or small forward. If you are like that, you better be a power forward or a center, you know? So you better be. The way you fix Ben Simmons, you trade him, you got to go to a different organization. And also, when you are an actual power forward and center, you can't be with another superstar power forward and center, and Joel Embiid, of course. I think that's the only reason why. It's just, you know, even when they had Markelle Fultz, it was just kind of awkward, just like, okay, who's the point guard? What is Ben Simmons, a forward? Is he a point? Is he a center, power forward? Is he a power? Is he a small guard? Is he a small forward? Is he a point center? Like, it was just getting confusing. And once they shipped Fultz off and did the thing, and then Ben Simmons and Embiid, they were trying to make it Simmons a point guard. No. No more. We're not trying this anymore. If you get Ben Simmons next year, your coach better put you at power forward and center, just because if you are a liability, you should not be a guard. You should not be. And so with that being said, Ben Simmons needs a superstar guard. He needs a superstar guard teammate. I believe Ben Simmons could be a two option, number two option on a championship team. I actually kind of believe that, weirdly enough. I think he has to definitely improve his free throw shooting by a good 10 to 20%, which I think he can, because it's getting psychological, and I think going to a different team will unpsychological that. But he needs a superstar guard. And this is exactly what I was talking about with Giannis. Because Giannis is trying to – sometimes he tries to be this guard when he's not. He's a forward slash center. And that's why Giannis, the more he believes in like Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday to be a guard and to make those type of plays, the better Giannis is going to be. I saw – I think the trade was a potential trade was Ben Simmons for CJ McCollum. But I would actually kind of like that for Ben Simmons. Having Dame Lillard as your superstar guard teammate, I think that is what is perfect for Ben Simmons. Then Ben Simmons can focus on being a power forward and center instead of trying to be a guard, bring the ball down and whatnot. I think Ben Simmons should be a point center. If anything, he should be a center, of course. But he should be like a Draymond Green. He should be a Jokic. He should be more like Jokic than trying to be a point guard, shooting guard type of dude. That's my thing. It's the same with Giannis. Like Giannis, when you are a power forward and center, stop trying to be a guard. Stop. Just give it up. That's why with Giannis' success, it speaks to how much Chris is doing well. Because Chris Middleton, Giannis needs to stop shooting threes. Needs to stop shooting threes. And I think game seven, what, he didn't shoot any threes, which is why they won, to be very honest. That is why they won, mixed with Chris's great play. But yeah, that's my thing. Like a lot of these guys, a lot of these forwards, I think in today's game are trying to be guards. And I think Embiid low-key tried that in a way earlier in his career. He was like trying to be this weird small forward. Of course he's a center, but he was trying to like – he does it still here and there, but he was like trying to, you know, cross over between the legs type of thing too much. And I just thought, okay. But I think Embiid definitely has embraced his center position a lot more, a lot better. A lot better. But I was – yeah, I don't know. A lot better. Let's see. But yeah, I think that's my thing with Ben Simmons. I think that's the whole issue with him. The Sixers are just such a mess right now. And I think it's kind of fun, like Philly is a very passionate fan base, and they give props to their players whenever it's due. I remember the whole Markelle Fultz situation. They really supported him throughout that whole situation. And I don't know, what is it with Philly and just the psychological aspect of shooting with their players? It happened with Markelle Fultz. I mean, it basically happened with Ben Simmons, and I did not realize how much it impacted Ben Simmons. I don't know what happened. I remember seeing I saw someone like comparing highlights of or the free throw of the shooting shooting form of Ben Simmons about when he got drafted to versus now, and it is so different. Ben Simmons's shooting form was way less way more inside with the elbow inside and less about being on the side with his current form right now. He shoots it with both hands, basically. And yeah, it's not going to cut it. It's not going to. And I don't know. It's weird how Philly, I think, must have psychologically changed him for some reason. But yeah, whatever. We'll see. I think I saw a funny rumor of Ben Simmons going to the Spurs. That'd be kind of interesting. But yeah, I don't know what it is with player development nowadays. I don't know who told him to change his shot. He needs to get fired, but whatever. Giannis, go to Giannis. I am proud of Giannis. I am proud of Giannis. I am the number one Giannis hater. I will happily admit that I'm a Giannis hater. I will argue that he deserves it sometimes. I think game five of the series versus the Nets was probably one of the most disappointing games I've ever seen, just in basketball in general. And I think, the thing about Giannis, though, he keeps trying. He keeps trying. And I like it. I like it. There's no better. It's really encouraging to see someone just fail so many times and keeps going, you know? So it's all fun. It's all fun though. I don't know. It's that was a very iconic series, that Bucks and Nets series. And you know, the Nets, we all knew it. We all knew it, and I don't think no one is super shocked. The Nets, the only team that could beat the Nets was themselves. And we all knew it. And we all were like, you know what? One of them is going to get injured. And the fact that two of them got injured, not going to work. I mean, Harden, he was not himself. He was not. I mean, he got a triple-double off a leg, off one leg. That's kind of icy, honestly. But yeah, it's such a frustrating thing with injuries, because you know, when you have three players that get that are injured all the time, they of course it happens in the playoffs. It was always going to happen. It's always going to be a thing. I don't know what it is with players that get injured so much. It just keeps going. I don't know why. But that is just kind of funny to me how, like, we all know the Nets were the best team in the NBA. But to be the best team, you got to be a little bit healthy. I think I saw someone say the healthiest team is going to win the championship this year. I mean, it's kind of true. I think the Bucks, I can't even knock on wood. But, I mean, I don't even remember them having any type of injury this year. Yeah, I don't know. Kind of weird. I mean, Clippers are not going to make it. Suns, CP3 is going to come back. But, it's going to be interesting. I'm very interested in a Suns versus Bucks NBA Finals. I would be very happy. Or Suns versus Hawks. That would be very entertaining, too. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting seeing either it's going to be Giannis, Trae Young, or Devin Booker with the Finals MVP. That's going to be fun. That's great to see. You know, I was notorious for saying Devin Booker was going to be the next Kobe Bryant. I said this 2017. I said this 2016, I think. And look at him now. Everybody's like, oh, he's the next Kobe Bryant. I said it first. I'm not going to lie. I said it first. I said it to a lot of people when people call me crazy. Whatever. Whatever, man. But yeah, I'm very happy for Devin Booker. Like, genuinely happy, because this man suffered in Phoenix for, what, 6 years? And I definitely was one of the first to question his, what, max contract with them. Because I was like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this to yourself? Yeah, definitely. Definitely happy for Devin. The Clippers, I saw something where Kawhi might come back. I thought the man had an ACL injury. I'm always so confused with Kawhi. Is he injured? Is he not? Is he out for the next year? So confusing. Paul George is not going to be able to beat the Suns, even with the non-CP3 Suns. I don't know what it is about Suns games, but their arena is so just – the energy that thrives there, I don't know, something about the lighting of that arena. I know it sounds silly, but I don't know, it's very refreshing. The lights are different in Phoenix for some reason. I don't know. Whatever. Oh, and also, I guess I have to always talk about this. Dave, the show, we're switching things. Season 2 comes out of Dave. If you don't know, the rapper Lil Dicky has his own show type of thing. It has a very Atlanta feel to it. Donald Glover's Atlanta feel to it. But I'm a Lil Dicky hater, and I have to kind of stick by that point. And I still hate Lil Dicky. But I'm gonna watch the show, but that doesn't mean Lil Dicky's a great. The show is great. The show is great because it's not because of Lil Dicky, it's because of his co-stars. The fact that Lil Dicky was able to pull all these celebrities, why is Kendall Jenner in this show? Why does this man know Kendall Jenner? I don't get it. This is like the all-star game. This is like, Dave is like, you know, we all want to be actors. I think Dave is the show that the rapper's like, oh, I can be an actor. I can put that on my little thing. You know, it's honestly for pride, I feel like. Like, what? Why is Gunna in this show? Why is Trippie Redd in this show? You know, you got to really ask yourself these questions. But, you know, everybody's going to give kudos to Lil Dicky, which is great. He's a great writer. He's not funny, okay? He's not funny himself. He's only funny if he writes for someone else. It's like a coach. A head coach might not be a great offensive coach, but he's going to be a great leader, a great head coach. Same goes for the offensive head. You know, this happens all the time in the NFL, in football. An offensive coordinator sometimes is not a great head coach because he doesn't have head coach leadership tendencies. In this situation, Lil Dicky's an offensive coordinator. He's going to call the plays. He's going to write you the plays. He's going to give you the ball. He's going to make sure you're in the right position. He's a great point guard. He's not a great scorer. He's a great passer. If you know what I mean, I think you will understand this. But the show is amazing. I'm trying not to hate on the show itself. The show is really cool. I actually like the show. But it's not because of Lil Dicky. It's not. This is writing. Writing is good. Writing is great. But not his acting, not his thing. And you know what? I'm still waiting on a Lil Dicky rap album. I've been waiting six years. Count it. Six. Very disrespectful to music in general. You make one album and then you're like, okay, I'm done with music. I'm going to be the best rapper ever, or whatever he said, and then just dips and then is using his clout for something else. Like, it's not that hard to make music. It really isn't. Like, stop with the aesthetic. like musicians have to stop with the aesthetic sometimes, you know. Yeah, man. That's my little shout out to Lil Dicky. I'm sure season 2 is gonna be great. It's gonna be great. But still waiting on that rap album. I'm still waiting. Earth was trash. We all know that song was trash. And the fact that it used a charity to get people to listen to it, very sad. Very, such a very sad thing. I think one of the worst moments in rap history, honestly. I'm getting worked up. There's like this interesting Twitter beef situation going on last night. Apparently there's a clip going around that T-Pain said he got like kind of depressed and very sad for a little bit, for like a couple of years, because Usher told T-Pain that he was a disappointment to music. Because of the whole auto-tune thing, T-Pain has gotten so much hate for his auto-tune stigma. I have never seen one artist be so influential but yet so hated. T-Pain was so ahead of its time that it's ridiculous how much ahead of its time he was. So ridiculous. And I remember back then, like, I was like, wow, T-Pain, auto-tune, that's crazy. And it was very new, and it almost got, I mean, it got normalized definitely years on, but I mean, especially Usher, the man, Usher used auto-tune just as much as T-Pain later in his career too. So I don't want to hear that. Yeah, that's crazy. I can't believe T-Pain. I don't know. It's kind of crazy. T-Pain kind of exposing Usher. But yeah, T-Pain's gotten so much hate. T-Pain needs to be more, he needs to make more music, honestly. He needs to kind of show these young people. I saw something where, what, T-Pain is younger than Chris Brown? That's crazy. I think I saw something, what, T-Pain getting criticized for autotune when he could easily sing and has a great voice is kind of crazy. Like, T-Pain's voice without autotune is kind of nice. It's kind of nice. Yeah, it's kind of a funny situation. I think that's about it for me. Yeah, people need to respect T-Pain a little more. He needs more hits, in my opinion. Song of the Weekend shout-outs. I'll do shout-outs real quick. Shout out to Maul and Rory, or Rory and Maul. If you don't know who those guys are, those are co-stars in the Joe Budden podcast, people that aren't Joe Budden. Shout out to them for making something a little different. Like, they have a podcast now, but I can tell they're going to be thinking a little bit more outside the box. I like it. I really do like it. You know, that podcast was one of the few times I've ever, you know, yes, you have the celebrity and Joe Budden, but I was really more interested in listening because of the co-stars, because it was more of a like casual talk type of thing. But they also were just very funny and very just normal, not this like celebrity gaze that sometimes celebrities have, but no, they're just normal people speaking their normal opinions. So I really like the direction those two are going in. I really do. I'm really excited for them and see what they got going on. I think they just dropped a new episode. I haven't watched it yet, but the new episode with Earl the Sweatshirt, Justice, and somebody else. I don't know. But I'm also going to listen to that later today. Song of the Week. I don't know, man. I'll just be listening to random songs here and there. Let's see. Have I put this one? Lumberjack by Tyler, the Creator. I'm excited for Tyler, the Creator's new album this Friday. Very excited. Very excited. He's one of the few artists that makes great albums, and it's very, very unique in this day and age. I mean, I can only – Travis Scott and Tyler, the Creator are the one, probably the only musicians that really don't care for singles and just make sure the whole album all at once, just boom, just right into it. And I like that. I really do like that. I appreciate that. And I like how Tyler Crater, he does this. He makes he creates an album every 2 years. I like it. He has great art. He's very aesthetic, very artsy, and I like it. And I really like it. Really do. He has Donald Glover vibes here and there. He really does. Yeah, that's about it for me. Yeah, we're good. Thank you for watching. That was episode 97. Thank you for watching. Appreciate y'all. See y'all next time.